Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning out in the rain and the weather, the first Sunday of 2022. You can head on over to Genesis chapter 1 with me, if you would, real quick. I cannot hardly believe, to be honest with you, that the last couple of years have even gone by with all of the things that have been going on and happening. Laura showed me a meme a couple of years ago, and you might remember this picture. You remember President Biden's inauguration? They had this picture of a grumpy-looking Bernie Sanders with his mittens and his arms crossed, sitting there in the chair. And the caption on the meme that Laura showed me was, "I'm not saying this has been a long year, but this picture ain't even a year old yet." I thought, well, that's pretty true. Everything going on, we're in the middle of things that we never even dreamed possible. And I really, just to be honest with you, kind of tired of it, you know? Every time you look somewhere, it's the same old, everything seems to be just the way that it always was, and whether you believe it to be true or you don't, I just get kind of tired of it. And my brother Jimmy would tell you, that's life, get over with it. But here we are. It's a brand new year. And so we're going to take one more break from our study of angels and try to look at some new things here as we start a new year. Go ahead now, crack your knuckles, whatever you'd like to do. We're going to start here in Genesis. We'll be in Revelation by the time that we get through with what we're looking at here today. There's lots of new things in the Bible, and that's what we want to consider. Some new things as Scripture progresses for us. We'll try to put a little bow on it at the end and make sense of all of it and see exactly if we can do that or not, but hopefully a little bit of encouragement as we get started in 2022. So let's ask the Lord to bless our time, and then we'll see if I can make sense of some things that's been rolling around in my head for the past couple of weeks. Now, Father, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for the rain that you've given to us. And we appreciate the fact that your word tells us that you will not cease to replenish the earth until such a time. So we thank you for it. We thank you for your care, your blessings over us. We pray now that you would guide us and help us this morning as we look into your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Genesis, we see lots and lots of new things. And so in my mind, there's no better place to start when I'm thinking about new than the very beginning. So this is the way the book of Genesis starts. The first five verses with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. He called the day, He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was morning, and there was evening in the first day. So that's sort of the ultimate new, right? There's nothing there. It's all brand spanking new. We're right here in the beginning. On Christmas Day, the Webb telescope was launched. I don't know if you saw those headlines or not. You were probably busy on Christmas Day with things of children and all of this stuff, and I'm the little nerd that was kind of checking my phone on the other side to see if the thing got off the ground or not. But several years ago, you might be familiar with the Hubble Space Telescope that was launched. And it's been orbiting the Earth for a long time. And the idea is if you get up above the Earth's atmosphere, you don't have to worry about the clouds. You don't have to worry about all the little molecules and things that are in the air. And you can really get a good, clear shot of the things out in space. Well, Hubble has just about served its purpose, and so this brand new one, bigger, faster, stronger, better, all of those kind of things, called the Webb Telescope, was launched. And scientists think that they're going to be able to see distant planets that we've only ever sort of dreamed of and have these artist conceptions of. But I got to thinking about those things. Look at how the Earth was. The Earth was without form. Verse 2 tells us there, in its new, its original state. Well, you come across something like that and you go, there's really not much to see here, right? I mean, it's kind of dark over there. There's no kind of really form to it. There's nothing there. It's empty. So we just keep moving along. But think of all those pictures that you've seen All those things that you've seen in your science books, you think about Saturn and the beautiful rings around Saturn. And Saturn's got this huge storm at each pole. And if you ever see the top of Saturn, one of its poles, they're hexagonal shapes, not like a round one like we often think of here on Earth. But there are these storms, and they form like a little hexagon around the poles of Saturn. You always see that big giant storm on Jupiter, and it's got all those different colored bands. And you think, man, that's beautiful. Look at that thing, a big gas giant planet floating around out there. Just a few years ago, the New Horizons mission made a flyby of Pluto. Have you ever seen those pictures? There's a heart shape on Pluto as it flew by. It's easily distinguishable. It's this great big giant heart as they flew by Jupiter heading out into the outer bands of it. And just so you know, us little folks have to look out for each other. Pluto's still a planet. I don't care what size it is. It'll always be that ninth planet. And so I thought about those things. We look out, we look into the sky, we see all of the beautiful stars, and we wonder, were they like that in the beginning? Is that the way that God created them? Because we have an account that when the earth was brand new, not a whole lot to look at, right? It was empty. It was dark. It's darkness over the face of the deep. But this place was just a little bit different. If you look there at the end of verse 2, I think this is what separates our planet from the rest of the solar system. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So regardless of the beauty of the other planets, this little place had something that the other ones did not. At least it's not recorded for us that they did not have. It was the Spirit of God. So in amongst all of this new stuff, the earth has this new inhabitant. It has the Spirit of God upon it. And we could read the rest of the chapter. You know, He created the land animals and the fish. And then finally, on day 6, there was this new creature. Day 6 is when He created man. Now, a couple of years ago, we were on a Boy Scout camp out. Well, at that time, it was a Cub Scout camp out. And they had asked me to have a little devotional with the kids at the Cub Scout camp out before we left on Sunday morning. And so this is what we read. We read Genesis chapter 1 together with the scouts. And we talked about, if you were to go back and read through all this, God spoke, right? God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let vegetation spring forth from the earth. And we had all the grasses and the things that we have. All of these things, God spoke into existence until He got to Adam. And then there was something new when He got to Adam. If you look down there at verse number 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And we get a little peek into chapter 2. And we see that the difference was this new method that came along with man was God didn't speak man into existence. He reached down into the dust of the earth and He formed this little creature in His hand. We don't read of Him doing those other things. So there's this newness that we have here with making a man and then breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. And we have a new creation. We have a new creature. We've got these animals over here, they're all spoken, and then we've got this new creature. And this new creature brought with it a relationship. And that was also something new. We read about God and Adam. They walked together in the garden, right? But look over with me to verse 3. There's another new thing over in chapter 3. Chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Now, right there, Paul is gone. Right there, I'm out. I'm not hanging around anymore. But Eve takes up a conversation with this serpent, which is not something I don't believe I would have done. But Eve said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. So here's another new for us. So we've seen this new world being created. We've seen this new world was inhabited by the Spirit of God hovering over the deep. And then he populated it with new things, and he made this new creature called man. And he had this new relationship with this man. And then man broke the relationship. Man sinned. He was disobedient. He didn't do as he was told by God. And so we have this new concept of sin that had entered into the world. And that created separation. Created separation from God, or between God and man. All right, so another new over in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we hear a familiar story of a man named Abram. And look at verses 1 through 3 of Genesis chapter 12 with me. And now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there is a new covenant with a man named Abram that is made. And God says, I'm going to bless all people through you. And you're going to be a great nation. All nations would be blessed through him. You can read a little bit more about that in Genesis chapter 15, but for one quick verse for us in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5, we see that Abram actually gets himself a new name. God says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. And so from that point on, we see Abraham on this new journey that God has sent him on. Out of his own country, he's going out. He has a son named Isaac, and it's through that son that this great promise is fulfilled. And you know the story. The nation becomes a great nation. They're taken into captivity down in Egypt. They endured a time of captivity, and finally they're delivered through a miraculous series of events when Moses led them out. And they wander around in this wilderness place trying to get into the promised land. They make it to the promised land, and the Lord sets up again something new for them there, a new system of sacrifices and offerings and a priesthood. And they have to go through all of these ordeals. And then, chapter 1 of the book of 1 Samuel, there comes along a new person. This time in the form of a little guy. Little guy named Samuel. If you were here last week or you had the opportunity to hear Tim's message from last week, he mentioned the little boy Samuel who slept there in the tabernacle. We see here in Samuel chapter 1 that this lady named Hannah wanted this little boy, and she prayed for this little boy, and she was granted her prayer. And in return, she had promised the Lord that she would give her little boy back to him. And so he would live there forever in the temple, or for his life there in the temple. And Tim relayed that to the Lord Jesus being left behind by Mary and Joseph and staying in the temple and probably sleeping there. But Samuel introduced us to a new time in history. He was a great judge in the history of the nation of Israel. And he was a prophet. And he had the opportunity, he had the privilege, that is, to usher in a second new thing in his time. I know it's a lot of news this morning. I apologize. But the people of Israel wanted a king. And so Samuel anointed a man named Saul, a Kishite from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the people of Israel said, we want a king. We want someone to rule over us. And they chose the tallest, most handsome person they could find and said, we want him to be our king. And God said, you know what? I'll give that to you. You can have that. So he did. And Samuel anointed Saul to be king over Israel. And it didn't turn out. It didn't turn out very good at all. So finally, in his goodness and in his mercy, God said, we're going to have a new king. But this time, it's going to be a king that I choose. So if you look over to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, we have one little verse in chapter 7. You probably know this story very well. But Samuel goes over and he meets up with this fellow named Jesse. And he says, I hear you have some boys, and I would like to see your boys, please. And so Jesse brings all of his boys before him, and Samuel goes down the list, looking at these young men, starting at the oldest. And God says, no, not him. No, not him. No, not him. Well, finally, he's out of youngins, and David is brought onto the scene. And God says, that's him. Rise up and anoint him. In chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse 7 reads, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So we have this new way of looking at someone. Man looking on the outside, the outward appearance. The Lord says, no, I look inside. I look at the heart. So he picks David, who would later be called a man after God's own heart. And David was promised that through him there would never cease to be a person sitting on his throne. And we see that being fulfilled in the New Testament. So if you go over to Matthew chapter 1, blazing our way through the scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 1, look at the very first verse. The very first verse says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So there are names again. So we've had all of these new things that have shown up for us. We see this new world being created. We see this new covenant being made with Abraham. We see this new king being anointed in David. And David given this promise that never would he fail to have someone sitting on his throne. And finally here, as we come to the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus, a descendant, earthly descendant of David through his lineage there between Mary and Joseph. The true king who has come from Abraham through Judah, through David, to occupy the throne. And we can tell, and we can see, and we will see that through him there will never ever be an end to his reign. So all of these new things. A couple more news for you over to the book of Revelation. Perhaps my favorite chapter in all of Scripture, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This is, again, probably my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. So we've got this scene here before the throne of God. John, back in chapter 4, has been called up into heaven. We think that that pictures to us the rapture of Christ's church. And he's standing there in chapter 5, and he sees that God is sitting on the throne, and he's got this scroll in his right hand, verse 1 tells us. And no one can come and take that scroll out of God's hand. The whole place is looked over. Heaven's looked over, earth is looked over, under the earth is looked over. No one is found worthy. And John gets all kinds of upset. And John begins to weep because no one is worthy to come and take the scroll out of the hand of the one who sits on the throne. And so we pick up in verse 5. One of the elders, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. So there's our guy David again, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And notice what John sees. John says, between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. So here's the one. We've just remembered him this past Christmas season. He came lowly born to a virgin there in the little city of Bethlehem and laid in a manger. And he would grow up and he would be nailed to a tree. And on that tree, he would bear my sin. He would bear your sin. And he would shed his blood for you and I. He's ascended into heaven. And in this little chapter, chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, there's coming a day where he's going to take that scroll and he is going to begin the tribulation that has been promised on this old world. Triumphant, the true king executing his rightful duties. And then over to the very end of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. One last new for you to consider of things in the Scripture. Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 reads, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" And finally, verse 5 says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." That's a lot of new. That's a bunch of new things that we've considered this morning. All of these newnesses that we've seen. But have you noticed all of these news that we've talked about have been related in particular to things of the earth? First of all, there was a new earth, right? And then there was a new person to inhabit the earth when Adam was created and then Eve. And then there was lots of other people on the earth, and there was this one guy named Abram, and God made this new covenant with Abram, and he says, "You know what, I'm going to call you Abraham from now on, and through you all nations are going to be blessed." And then we see that being fulfilled throughout the Scriptures. We see one of Abraham's descendants named David being named as a new king. And then we see a new little one there come in form of a little babe, the very Son of God himself come to earth, the true and rightful king. And then we see here in the book of Revelation a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And all of those things that we've talked about kind of are, at least in my mind, tangible. Stuff that you can put your hands on, right? This new place, these new people, this new royalty that we've got, this new heaven and this new earth. But a couple of more things that I want to consider with you this morning. Very, very briefly this morning. Back over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about Christ's sacrifice. We've already mentioned that this morning, that he was born there of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the cross for you and for me. What that did was that ushered in a new way. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 23 with me. This is what the writer of Hebrews wrote. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," notice these words, "by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So what is this new way? Well, we briefly mentioned this new system that God had established after the people were brought out of Egypt, this priestly system. And in those days of the Old Testament sacrifice, a priest never, ever finished what he was doing. There was always a sacrifice. Every single day, a morning and an evening sacrifice. And every single day, animals were being killed and their blood was being shed and was poured out upon the altar. And they did this over and over and over again. And those little lambs and those goats and those little turtle doves and all those other animals that were sacrificed there, well, they died. And that was the end of them. And they were done. And for a little piece of time, a little bit of time, God was satisfied. And the sins of the people were covered. The writer of Hebrews says these words, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is to say, through his flesh." So all of those sacrifices are gone. There's this new way to approach God, and that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And we know that he is alive forevermore, not like those animals that were placed upon the altar and slain and their blood sprinkled to cover the sins of the people for a little bit of time. But this one, as we saw in the book of Revelation, was a lamb standing as though he had been slain. How do you stand if you're slain? It's because he conquered death there for us when he rose victorious from the grave. And he's standing there as a little lamb, unlike the other ones. It is a new way. One final thing for you. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And this is really sort of the heart of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Apostle Paul says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So when we look at all of the new, we look at all of the things in Scripture, and look, we barely scratch the surface of it, right? I know this is very fast, and it's just all these things have been rolling around in my head for a couple of weeks, and I'm trying to put some sort of an order to it. All boils down to that one statement about new. If anyone is in Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. If you come to the point where that you understand that you need a Savior and you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be that Savior that you need, then according to God's Word, you are a new creation. The old thing has passed away and the new has come. And that's really my prayer for the new year, is that we would see souls saved. And as we enter into a new year and we see people saved and we see these new creatures, these new creations, no longer in the things of the world, but secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of people making resolutions these days. Again, back to Laura and her memes. Laura showed me another meme yesterday. She said, shout out to all of my friends who've made their New Year's resolutions and have already decided to wait till Monday for it to start. About the way a resolution works, right? A resolution might do you a little bit of good here on this earth. We've made New Year's resolutions at our house. Haddon has made the greatest one I've heard in a long, long time. Maybe he'll tell you about it if you ask him. But we've all made a couple little things that we say, hey, we're going to try to do this a little bit differently. But the joy you'll have, if you don't already know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you don't make a resolution, but if you become a new creation in him, 2022 will be a much better year than any of the previous ones before. And not only will 2022 be a better year, but eternity will be completely out of this world like you can't imagine. Well, I'm going to take a shot this morning as we close. and say that I guarantee you I'm the only person this morning that stood behind a lectern and mentioned my brother Jimmy. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I might be the only person to mention the Broadway hit musical Hamilton as we start our new year. January the 15th of 2015, or January the 20th of 2015. I think I crossed those up a little bit. January of 2015, Lin-Manuel Miranda had, for the first time, his production of Hamilton on Broadway. I endured Hamilton. I had a work trip to Chicago, and Laura said, I want to go because they're showing Hamilton in Chicago, and we're going to take a night while you're there on your work trip and go see Hamilton. I knew nothing about this play, not a single solitary thing. I knew Hamilton was one of the founding fathers. As Lin-Manuel Miranda refers to him, the $10 founding father, as a matter of fact. So we get into this playhouse, and Laura says, oh, by the way, it's hip-hop. They're going to rap the whole 2 hours we're here. And I thought, well, that's just perfect. It's exactly what I needed. It's Chicago, Illinois. It's snowing outside. I have no idea if that was a gunshot or a firecracker, and I got to listen to this for 2 hours. That's perfect. What a great evening. It was fantastic. It was really, really great. There's a particular song, matter of fact, it's a title song called Hamilton that they sing. And here's a brief little excerpt that I will read, not attempt to rap for you by any stretch of the imagination. No, Haddon, I will not. So they set the scene. Hamilton is this guy who is born of illegitimate birth, and he's an orphan. And so they take up this collection, according to the song, because they want to send him on to the United States. They want to get him out of the islands and on to the mainland because they really think that this is a smart guy. And if the things about the play were accurate, if they did their research as they were writing their songs and they depicted it in the right way, he was absolutely brilliant. But there's a line in the song Hamilton. Planning for the future, see him now as he stands on the bow of a ship headed for the new land. And the last bit of that says, in New York, you can be a new man. Get him to New York, he can be a new man. Won't have to be living in all of these things that he's been living in. He won't be destitute, he won't be an orphan in this type of a situation. He can start afresh, he can start anew. He'll be a new man in New York. He did some great things as far as our country is concerned. But you know what's better than Alexander Hamilton being a new man in New York? And that would be for someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus to become a new creation in 2022. To find true hope, to find true peace in the times that we live in. That's my prayer for 2022 as we go throughout this year. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own, you would take him. Those of us that do, that we would rejoice in the fact that we don't have to be as Hamilton and be destitute in the things of the world, but that we are a new creation looking for a new land, a home, the writer of Hebrews tells us, whose builder and maker is God himself. Looking forward to that day. Father, thank you again for the day, for the opportunity to read from your word. We pray, Lord, as we would go throughout our year, that you would keep us near to you. Father, you would keep us in your word. Help us to read it on a daily basis. Help us to meditate upon it. Help us to think upon the things that you show us in your word, including this wonderful, wonderful gift that we can be new creations in your beloved Son. Thank you for that wonderful gift that you've given to us. I ask now that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.